Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly here with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our abbreviated 9 principles of belief, as is customary. The first one is, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. We'd like to welcome those listening to the archive as well as those listening in live and those in the chat room. Good to have you here. Tonight, we're going to talk about motivation and momentum. And what I'm going to do, as I did last week, is I'm going to share some highlights of one of our course segments with you. This information is coming from IMHS course M4, and it's The Art of Motivation and Momentum. And I'm just going to hit some highlights, and if you have questions as I go, don't hesitate to put them in the chat room. And we'll just have a discussion. These are the highlights, so there's a lot more information in the course if you're interested in taking it. You can do that as part of our degree program at metaphysicsinstitute.org. We also have this course on TFU, Thomas Francis University, but I don't have those memorized yet, so I'd have to look that course number up. But I could do that in due time, provided I can remember it, which I'll try to do. All right, so let's talk about the first part of this. It's going to be on motivation. And that's kind of an interesting subject matter. What motivates people? You know, some people are motivated by poverty. Some are motivated by money. Some are motivated by love. Some are motivated by hate. Some people are motivated by giving back to the world. Others are motivated by selfishly taking things from others, you know. And the thing about motivation is that, I mean, it just differs with each one of us. And it all hinges on the type of meaning that we find in life. So I want to talk about some ways that you can enhance your motivation. And there's basically, I think it's 8 points here that I'm going to share on how to regain your motivation if you've lost it. And the one underlying issue with a lack of motivation is really a lack of significant meaning in one's life. Think about that for a sec. If we find a lot of meaning in our life, we're usually motivated toward that end. And so if we find ourselves in a place of where we just are not motivated, well, something's not inspiring us, or our present course of life is not inspiring us or motivating us. So it's really kind of an existential imbalance, and we need to bring that into balance. We need to rethink what we're doing in our life, the direction we're going, And to that end, I want to share with you 8 of these different techniques just briefly. The first one, live your dream. That's one of the ways to rekindle your motivation. Live your dream. Einstein once said, we act as though comfort and luxury were the chief requirements of life when all that we need to make us happy is something to be enthusiastic about. That also reminds me of the quote that late George Burns, comedian, once said, you know, you need to find something to get yourself out of bed in the morning. You know, and that's motivated people have that. They get up, they fly out of bed, and they're at it because they're motivated. And so if you're not involved with something in life that truly excites you, it's going to be hard to get motivated about life. And living your dream is a great motivation enhancer. And, you know, most people are just not living their dream. And in order to discuss, you know, because a lot of people, I don't know what my dream is. Well, I think most people kind of know what their dream is on some level. But the way to determine what your dream is to answer this very simple yet difficult question, and that is, what do I call a good day? Think about that for a while. Write that down. What do I call a good day? Ponder that and use that as a foundation to build your life. The next point is feeling good. It's hard to be motivated if you don't feel good. And so if you just don't feel good, well, find out what it would take to feel good. That means going to the doctor or whatever it needs to be. Do your research. But it's hard to be motivated if you just don't feel good. If you've got allergies or things like that, see what you can do to get past those things. And you need to feel good. Exercise is a great thing. You know, and of course, people who know me would probably fall off their chair hearing me say that, because I've never been that type of person. I've never been an exercising type of person. I've always sat in front of a computer or done things that, you know, are more mental than physical. It's just who I am, what I do. But a couple of years ago, I started riding a bike, and I've got more than 1,500 miles on the bike now, and it's made a difference in the way I feel, and it helps with weight loss and just general good health. And, you know, it's not, I would have never guessed this. I would have told you were crazy 3 years ago if you told me I was going to be riding a bike for 2 years and log 1,500 miles. You know, and that's, there's a lot of cyclists who log a lot more than that. But for me, that's a lot, 1,500 miles. You know, that's a goal. That's an accomplishment for me. So find what you like, but get some exercise and try to feel good. The third point is believe in yourself and the value that you offer. If you don't believe in yourself and what you're doing, who else will? So if you can't believe in what you're doing and in yourself, that needs to be remedied as well. And that, of course, starts with good, healthy self-concept. There's a woman named Wanda Carter once said, take control of your destiny. Believe in yourself. Ignore those who try to discourage you. Avoid negative sources, people, places, things, and habits. Don't give up and don't give in. And I'll add to that my saying, don't tell me it's too hard. Ask, how hard can it be? People just like you and just like me put men on the moon. Unless you're a conspiracy theorist, then we didn't. But you get the point. We can do anything we want. Don't ever say that's too hard. Always ask, how hard can it be? And then go make it happen. Number 4, to the greatest extent possible, do not allow yourself to be encumbered by problems. You know, I have this theory that we don't have to have all the problems that we have in our life. And it boils down to making better decisions, doing your research, your due diligence, making better decisions. Look, I've been there. I've brought problems on myself because of lack of experience, because I didn't think it through. You know, it happens. But we can largely eliminate problems from our life by just being sensible, keeping our heads on our shoulders, and not bringing problems on ourselves, and educating ourselves on things so that we can make better decisions in the future. And a big part of this is relationships. And so if you're not educated on healthy relationships, that's a place to start. Now, of course, in our curriculum, we teach how to have healthy relationships to in a deep way. So, to the greatest extent possible, don't allow yourself to be encumbered by problems. And this is not to say you'll never have any. We all do. But try to make the problems that you have not ones you bring on yourself. The fifth point is your pain, your hunger. Pain can be a powerfully motivating or demotivating force. You know, if you are unhappy about your situation, whether it's personal or financial, well, that inner pain can drive you to accomplish great things. And it depends on who you are, because there are times in my life when that pain has been a motivator for me, really driven me. But there's also been times in my life that that pain has demotivated me even further. You know, it's like almost a futility thing. But your pain can motivate you. And if you combine it with these other points we're talking about, then it can become powerful. So listen to your pain. What's it telling you? If you're unhappy with your current situation, then your pain's telling you something. Make the changes. Plan to make the changes, if nothing else. Little steps along the way. That's all it will take to get you going. Number six, believe that you will gain benefits. If you believe that you are in a dead-end job, then you're absolutely right. You are. And if you do believe that, then it's going to be very difficult to be motivated about your job. And, of course, then you're not going to do as good a job. Your performance is going to suffer. And I remember a time that this was my situation. Well, of course, I had a lot of personal problems at the time with an alcoholic wife. This has been well over 20 years ago. And I would sit in my office and stare at the walls. I just had no emotional energy to even do anything. And so I did myself, my employer, and my clients a favor, and I moved on to something else. I quit and I left. It was the best thing for everyone. And there's another little interesting thing about human nature in this. In Michigan State University, they did a study. They had two groups of people for this study. And one group, the whole group bet $40 that they could stay with a six-month exercise program. The other group didn't make any bets whatsoever. They just, yeah, I'll do the six-month exercise program. Well, the group who bet $40 that they could stay with it, 97% of them were successful. The other group who made no bets, only 19% of them were successful. So you got to believe that you're going to gain some benefits. And if you don't think you're going to gain benefits, then it's going to be hard to be motivated about it. You got to find something where you believe you will gain benefits. Number seven, continue to gain knowledge and experience. I've mentioned this a little bit earlier. You got to do your research. You got to do your due diligence. If you're in a career that requires extensive product knowledge, you need to get that. If you don't feel you're qualified, that's a big demotivator. So do your research, do your due diligence, gain your knowledge, and get that experience. And the final one, number eight, is lose the fear. You know, fear is one of the greatest disabling beliefs. Seldom do the fears we harbor within ever have anything to do with the greater reality. I've always liked the word fear being used as an acronym. I believe Ziegler was the one to bring this out, Zig Ziegler. But F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. As long as we believe our fears are real, then they are certainly real. They are our reality. And herein lies the problem, because our fears are usually nothing more than misguided and illusory beliefs, you know, false evidence, that disable us from doing what we know we should do. And so if we hold on to unreasonable fears, we disable ourselves. We lose our motivation. One unknown author wrote, "Remember that the more you know, the less you fear." And I would add to that that the less you fear, the more you're motivated. Remember these three words. Knowledge cancels fear. Knowledge cancels fear. So get your knowledge. All right. Let me just look at my notes here.
You know, if I can inject here with the fear, is a question that was asked to me last week when I taught a course, is when somebody's going through all the pros and cons and they find a lot of reasons why something could not work out, one of the things I suggest is with change your language.
Yeah.
And it's rather than saying, I'm going to see if I can't do that, which is the negative, or saying, I'm going to see if I can try, I'll try, that's automatic allowance for failure. So all those little things that actually unconsciously create fear, and we don't know that we're doing it to ourselves. So it's a relearning of one's inner dialogue. How do I use language? And that makes a lot of difference in how you use your intuition, because emotion gets in the way of intuition, and yet it's emotion that generates intuition, which is an interesting kind of irony.
Sure.
But yes, but if we're using negatives, we're using abbreviations, we're always using this, then that plays into the fear factor of failure, of what could go wrong, you know, and the list is long. So,
well, yeah, and that goes right along with, you know, we get what we focus on. If we're afraid, what are we focused on? We're focused on what we think may go wrong, so we're focused on what we don't want. When you focus on what you don't want, that's exactly what you're going to get. What you don't want. So you need to focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. So in that same spirit, don't focus on the fear, focus on the opposite. Do what you fear most and you control fear, is a saying by an unknown author, not me. But it's one that always helped me. And another of my favorite quotes of all time is, don't think that waiting will make the hill any smaller. So if you're afraid to try something because you think it's too big, don't think that waiting is going to make that hill any smaller. Get after it. Go make it happen. And that is a really motivating statement. How hard can it be? Go make it happen. You know, who's more resilient, you or the problem? And go make it happen. Don't tell me all the reasons why you can't do it. Go do it. Plenty of people do that, and they're the ones who are successful. And the ones who are motivated. All right. One final quote that I will share with you on this subject of motivation by Victor Hugo. He wrote, "People do not lack strength, they lack will." And the reason, that's the end of the quote. I'll add, the reason people lack will is because they haven't discovered what motivates them. They haven't discovered their dream, and they haven't taken steps to realize that. So hopefully these 8 points will help you with the motivation department. Now, just to make a few comments on momentum, too. And I want to start the comments with the momentum by sharing my law of momentum. Basically, it's simple. When you're up, the universe works to keep you up. When you're down, the universe works to keep you down. So, you know, don't let that discourage you. But once we gain momentum a little bit, it's going to keep going. It's going to keep going. I remember back on July 20th, 1969, and if you're around my age, you'll probably remember that date too. That's when Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the moon for the first time in history, so far as we know. And it was broadcast live to the world on television. I was 10 years old at the time. I was in Vancouver, Canada. And we were in a campground, and I was watching on a black and white TV with my dad and so forth. And I think it was around 10 something Eastern, so it would have been, 7 something Pacific. So, because I remember it was daylight out, we were outside watching it. It was cool. The reason I bring that up is because you can almost liken momentum to rocketry in a sense. For example, inertia. Is, you know, you got a rocket and you got to lift it into space, right? Well, that's kind of like momentum. You got to create that momentum. The first point on momentum is inertia. For any kind of a rocket to leave the ground, it's got to overcome inertia. And Sir Isaac Newton's first law of motion describes inertia. It states that a body at rest tends to remain at rest, and a body in motion tends to keep moving at the same speed and in a straight line. That kind of goes along with my law of momentum. When you're up, the universe works to keep you up. When you're down, the universe works to keep you down. It's basically wherever you're at, the universe keeps you going that way. That's kind of the law of motion or inertia. And so you've got to, in order to get anywhere, you've got to exert a powerful force initially. That's why they have several stages of rockets and big, powerful rockets to get them up into the air. And another analogy is a locomotive. You know, heavy train, probably dozens or not more cars that are connected to it. And, you know, to get that train moving, it takes a lot of power, and it starts out slow. But once it's moving, it's moving. It builds up that momentum and keeps going. So the lesson here is that we must overcome our own inertia to achieve success. It will likely require an unusual effort in the beginning to launch our dream, but there's really no way around it. And so if your dream is important to you, dive in and determine what excites you about that. And that will help you to maintain your momentum so that you blast off in the right direction. The second point on momentum is stage technology. If we continue with our rocketry analogy, with most rockets, they use stages or some variation, like the shuttle, for example, had two boosters and then the main shuttle tank, the big tank, to get them into orbit. So the two boosters were kind of like stages a little bit. But the Saturn V rocket that took men to the moon has several stages, and they do have several stages on current rockets too. So the first stage takes you up so far, and then the other one picks you up and keeps you going until you get to orbit. So the lesson about this is that as we launch our dreams, our success will go in stages. When we get to a certain level of success, we need to build on that level of success to get ourselves to the next level. Sometimes there might be a little bit of a plateau, but that's okay as long as we're still moving in the right direction, even if it's a little bit slower than we want. All right, let's go on to the next point, escaping orbit. Just, you know, unlike the space shuttle, some spacecraft have missions to explore outside of Earth's orbit. Like, if you remember the Voyager probes 1 and 2 launched in 1977, and others like the Cassini-Huygens mission to Saturn back in 97, they're good examples. They didn't just go to orbit. They went beyond orbit. And so they needed to really build up that momentum, increase that speed to 7 miles a second, or about 25,000 miles an hour to escape Earth's gravity. And then once they were had escaped Earth's gravity, they would shoot those rockets, those probes, to other planets like Jupiter. And they would swing it around Jupiter. And Jupiter would provide a gravity assist to those probes. And swing around, and it would just catapult them to the next direction. And it was all controlled. And so they were on their way. So the lesson here is that once we provided the necessary effort to begin realizing a goal, we need, and we probably have attained some success along the way by getting into orbit, then we have to ask, are we done yet? Probably not. Have we really attained everything that we wanted? If not, then we need to use our orbit that we've already achieved to catapult us to further aspects of our goal. So build on your successes. The fourth point on momentum and the final point on this is that adjusting a course along the way. And we can, again, use the space probe analogy. You know, when they launch these probes, and most people probably know this, but when they launch these probes, they don't send them to where the target is. So if they're going to Jupiter, they don't send it to where Jupiter is now. They send it to where Jupiter will be at the time the probe gets there. If they didn't do that, well, then, you know, the probe would miss it altogether. So we need to set our sights ahead and on our goals and to try to continue our momentum, our success, so that we'll be there at the right time. We need to identify where our objective will be in the future. And that means knowing enough about our objective to determine the course we need to take to get there. But we also need to be flexible to change our course when necessary, because even these space probes will have course corrections along the way. That's okay. And that's the same for us. We need to correct our course a little bit at times and get moving. Now, it's just some final thoughts on momentum that I wanted to share too. Is, again, the law of momentum: when you're down, the universe works to keep you down. When you're up, the universe works to keep you up. The thing that we have to do is be honest with ourselves. And this is true with motivation or momentum. If we had this goal this dream or whatever, and we've had it for a while, but we no longer, it just no longer excites us anymore. We need to move on. There's, you know, don't kick yourself too much. If you just know, if it just no longer excites you, then find something that excites you. And don't ever hesitate to switch, to change your direction if that's what will motivate you, if that's what will give you that momentum. And this is something that all successful business people will do. You know, I've tried things in the past, and this is something I learned from my mentor, Sal Balarama, years, decades ago, honestly. But I've tried things in the past. I wanted to, and my saying is, I throw them against the wall, see if they stick. And I might spend some money doing that, because after research and due diligence, it looks like a viable idea. And so I throw it against the wall to see if it'll stick. And if it doesn't stick, I cut my losses and I move on and I never look back. I move on to the next thing. And so any of these successful people out there that you have heard about probably have done the same thing numerous times. Many of them have filed for bankruptcy at some point in their life. I haven't done that. But most of them have. And that's fine, because mistakes are where we learn. That's the experience that we get. So don't hesitate to cut your losses and move in a new direction if that direction motivates you and excites you. Any points you'd like to make, Dr. Hunter or Michael?
No, not from my end.
No, I think I'm good. I've actually very much enjoyed listening and enjoyed the presentation. I mean, motivation is always
great.
You know, something that we all have to struggle with, but I have as of late, so this was good.
All right, good. Well, some summation points here. Remember, knowledge cancels fear, and never say that's too hard. Always ask, how hard can it be? And if you don't want to really do it, then don't do it. You know, it's like procrastination. We may put off things we don't really want to do, but if we really don't want to do them and they're really not that important, and we just say, okay, I'm not going to do it, that's not procrastination anymore, is it? It's just, we made a new decision based on new information. So remember those points. Okay. If you would like a card pulled from the Inner Oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room. And we will pull those cards. Our Inner Oracle cards are simply a set of 54 cards and several suits that represent many, many of the teachings that we have here as metaphysical humanists, and many of the teachings that we teach in terms of practical life skills and spiritual skills in our degree programs and so forth. Maybe to begin with, Dr. Hunter, would you just pull a card for the evening?
Attitude and disposition.
That's a good one.
Well, that's number 44 in the life skills suit, and I'll just find it here in the little booklet and read it. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be a positive or a negative, of course. Be proactive. Ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen. There
good.
You go.
Yeah.
To get us started.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if it's an issue.
You might have an issue with the chat. I know that, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Sherry's up first. Dr. Hunter, did you want to grab one?
Sure. Right. Hi, Sherry. Nice to see you here. We've got inspiration and motivation. That's funny, we were talking about that all evening. So here is number 45 in the life skills suit. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding something meaningful or meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. You know, equal and opposite. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. That's just a little You know, I think cosmic pep talk sometimes is a good thing.
And
so that one's for you.
What was the face value of that one again?
Number 45, life skills suit inspiration and motivation.
Thank you. All right, who's next?
Edward. Would that be correct there, Michael? Is Edward next? He said he did.
Let me take a look. Let me add this, that if you're not seeing all the posts in the chat room, refresh your page. It may cause your player to start over again, but it will refresh the chat room. I apologize. I had not turned off our security system caching, and that's what always messes us up. And I usually turn that off for the chat room. So anyway, I've turned it off now, so all the different messages should be up there. So let me see. Sherry was the first one.
And I believe Dr. Hunter is correct. Edward is next.
Okay. I'm not seeing Edward. There's a numbered
name. 698921. He did put his name in after.
Oh, okay.
So, Michael, do you want to pull one for Edward, please?
I'd be very happy to. Edward, I pulled number 6, boundaries. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me? And they're all fantastic cards, but that is good, and I think that ties into motivation as well, because if you don't have healthy boundaries, you're going to be taking on responsibilities that aren't your own, and you're going to be wasting emotional energy that is going to take away from your other pursuits and perhaps your true purpose.
Good.
Well, Fran drew number 42 for all of us, which is trust and integrity, and I'm going to go ahead here, Fran, and read that. I think it's a good message. Integrity means to be true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communications, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself. So that's a good one for all of us, trust and integrity. And I think even with respect to motivation, you know, you're using your own integrity to do good for yourself. I think that's really important. So I did draw number 8 for Fran. We were talking a little bit earlier about this, is, you know, talking about balance and order. So in the Life Leadership Paragon, balance and order, with this card, balance and order in life or in a specific area is present or it needs to be. If experiencing adversity, look for what's out of its proper order. Adversity is a state of disorder. Once order is restored, adversity fades. Moreover, self-completeness and success will ensue once order and balance are restored to the Life Leadership Paragon, areas of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will. So that's just a little reminder or something that you might be looking at in your life, Fran. A little balance and order. Yeah, we all do that from time to time. Michael, would you draw one for Cecilia, please?
Of course. And Cecilia, I've drawn number 30, greatness to deliver.
Mm.
Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness, and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference to the world.
Good.
Good one. I believe Dr. Darlene is next, and I've pulled number 4. past, present, and future. The three universal laws of personal responsibility are, 1, you're accountable for your past, present, and future. 2, don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3, don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. Now, that doesn't mean we don't help people and we don't receive help. It's just a matter of everybody's got the right in the free will zone of the universe to move forward in their own ways. And when we end up doing for them, we're taking away their right to learn. And we know that you know that, Dr. Darlene, but I tell you, even in my own life, I got to remember that from time to time. Usually I just ask myself if this is my business. So sure. That's good usually question. My question in that. So, all right, who do we have next?
Let me just refresh real quick to make sure that we're not missing anything.
I think that was it.
You know, if I can just say past, present, future a little more. Sometimes when we're being accountable for our past, present, and future, we don't always know what that is because reality is a very subjective thing, right? And it requires us to look back and just see our part, but don't take 100% of responsibility when you're 50% of the equation.
Yeah.
It's just to keep those little things in mind that we're just doing our part and take responsibility for our part. And then to say, okay, I've learned from that. Where am I in the present as a result? One of my greatest peeves is when I hear the self-appointed guru saying, oh, we don't live in the past. We forget about the past, you know. And I think they have responsibility issues myself. Uh-huh. So just keeping that in perspective, time and time again, I have talked with clients about relationships especially, and I say, you know, you're owning your stuff, but you're taking on 100% of when you're only 50%. So keep that in mind. That's all I want to inject on that one.
Well, thank you for saying that, Doctor. I think it was very well said, and for whatever reason, it spoke to me tonight. So, thank you.
Cool.
Great.
We all aim to please and serve.
That's right.
So, I don't see any other names.
Yeah, I haven't either. I believe we've gotten everybody, and I apologize if we've missed anybody, but I'm pretty sure we got everyone.
I think
you know,
did.
If I can just add this, though, I did as a kind of a closing statement. I wanted to pull one to see what we would get as a summation. And believe it or not, it's number 11, awareness. I have to mention that. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current levels of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. But this card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. And I think, you know, we can say everyone here is doing that, but it's key to observe, learn, and check in with yourself about your attitude. And that's just in a nutshell. So it goes right along with motivation and what we were talking about earlier.
Everything we do on this program and everything we do in our schools really can be boiled down to one objective. Raise awareness. That's what we do. You know, and thereby we raise the vibrational level of this world, of this universe. So
if I can just say too, I had a little glimmer in this last full moon. Sometimes I do a little meditation and see where we're going. And I know a lot of things in the world suck right now. And we think, wow, you know, the negative seems to be really taking over. But I felt a shift. And I really do believe this with, you know, every fiber of my being, that there is a light that's rising up. And with your voices, with your energy, with your projections, and with your participation, we are now shifting that energy. I felt it in this last full moon, and I just thought I'd share that with you. It's flipping, everybody, and you got to believe that. And we all do our part. And being on this program, being in the school, having conversations is all part of that. And so be optimistic. Be hopeful.
Good. Excellent comments. All right, folks. Thanks to everybody for tuning in tonight. Thanks to those of you listening to the archive. Thanks to Dr. Hunter and Michael Kelly, as always. And next week, we'll be back. And the topic for next week will be the art of order and balance. And so we'll highlight some points from that topic as well. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.